solstice. Gather round the cauldron for another episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch. Which witch are you?
Melissa Etheridge, certified genius and goddess, wrote insightfully, "I'm scared of growing old. I shiver when I'm cold. Don't you think I bleed the same blood? I could have been you. You could have been me. What would you have done differently? Would you have changed places with someone if you could, or created another version of yourself?" The witches get heavy in this episode about life choices. And now, Lisa, Daryl, and Shelley.
Hey guys!
Hey!
Guess what today is?
I'm betting it's Witchy Wednesday.
It sure is.
Witchy, what do you Wednesday. Think?
Shelley just pointed. I don't know what that meant.
It's April 17, 2023.
Nope.
No.
It's 2024.
Four.
Sometimes when I try not to step on your lines, I just point at stuff. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Where are we at?
So I was talking, and then Daryl was talking, and Shelley just started pointing at things.
She's a pointer.
She is. It was, you should see her now. She's just looking at things.
I think the mushrooms are kicking in.
Yeah, it could be. It's another Witchy Wednesday. This is a podcast, and we are here to entertain you with our hilarious and
zany.
Not so hilarious and zany stuff that we talk about in no order whatsoever, and for no particular reason. This episode is called I Could Have Been You, which is a song by Melissa Etheridge. You should listen to it because it's very poignant, but that's where Daryl got the inspiration for this episode. So we're going to kind of just dive right into it with our intro being, maybe I should introduce each other.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let's just in case there's a new
good
person.
Say, no mistakes
no
this
mistakes
time, guys.
This
no
time,
mas.
You guys. We never do more than one take, unless we do, but mostly not.
Mostly not.
And we're just going to continue to go. So it is Good Witch, Bad Witch, the podcast, Good Witch being Shelley Majors.
Heidily ho.
And Daryl just pointed at her. And then I'm the Bad Witch, Lisa Brown. Between the two of us is Daryl Brown, our Man Witch. And
I am right here. I'm here every week right between these two beautiful ladies. And thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
There you go. That's what he has to say about that.
Word.
So we're going to talk about some things... if we could have changed our lives, if we have all kinds of things, if we could have been somebody else.
Ooh, sounds deep.
It is. It's deep and thought-provoking.
Deepy. Yeah.
Say that in Christopher Walken.
Thought-provoking. Did I do it?
You did.
That was good.
You want to hear mine?
Yeah.
Blueberry.
We got to get a new steel for you, buddy.
Words.
This is the... Or is yes. that our... Everybody goes, yeah, I bet it's going to be Blueberry.
He knows other words.
You know, yeah, what other word
not
he
her,
knows?
Not her walking.
Yeah. No, he does. Hold on. Strawberry.
It's meat the continental.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, that was dear. Arnold Schwarzenegger one.
Okay, but, we digress.
Yeah,
it is not 2023. Nope.
Yeah. I want to be there when he orders smoothies. Okay, so I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
How would you have changed your life if you could? This is a little specific. You can say other things or whatever, but I want to ask you something specifically if it's not too deep for you.
Ooh.
Shelley.
Yes.
If you could have, would you have wanted, would you waited, had things exactly the way they are, or would you wish you would have had children?
That was really good. My dad asked me that, like, in November.
Uh-huh.
Well, if under different circumstances, of course.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. But I just wanted to, in the circumstances that I was in, I didn't think that would have been fair to the kids. Yep. But
okay.
Yes, I definitely would have. I love kids.
Okay.
Yep.
She's an incredible aunt.
Yes.
Thank
yes, you.
You
are an incredible
aunt. I am a good aunt.
They adore the shit out of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes,
no,
so
good question.
It's cool.
Yes, I would have loved to have had kids. I don't even know if I can.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Yeah. I mean, I've got all the goods. Every time
still
I go to the
time.
Doctor, they're like, that looks good in there.
Yeah.
Like, that looks cozy.
Hello,
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 hello.
Hello. Oh, we did that at the same time. That is horrible.
Taco choke. Yes. Short answer, yes, I would have had kids.
Daryl, would you have not had kids or not so many kids? I mean, like, okay, let's
which
not,
kid would you have not
right. Let's not take this personally, like,
no.
not a
no, no
I wouldn't have had this one or this one. Do you feel like if you wouldn't have had so many, that you could have given more to one or two as opposed to spreading yourself thinner.
Oh, yeah, five. Most definitely, yeah.
Time, money, energy.
Yeah, time, money, energy, career-wise, I could have done totally a lot of different careers, but with having such a big family, I had to make different choices to figure out where I was going to be grounded to stay, because I knew, especially after I got divorced, I knew they couldn't go anywhere I was going to go, that I had other choices in life to go different places to work in different cities and stuff, but I couldn't do it because of that.
Right.
So, yeah, with that being, I could be a completely different man witch today.
Yeah, you
could. Oh, my gosh.
You know, if
I would, three-piece suit witch.
Right.
If I wouldn't have had kids, I guarantee I would have been in the military, because I wanted to go to the military. That was one thing I wanted to do, but they were like, you have way too many dependents. We'd be paying for you and nobody else.
Right. What branch would you like to?
I would love to have gone to the Army.
Yeah, like Brett and your brother?
Yeah, Brett, my brother went to the Navy. Okay. My grandfather was in the Army.
Awesome.
Yeah, but I definitely, that was one thing that, you know, kind of a regret that I would have loved to have gone to the military, but because I had such a large family, that was not in the cards. And just, you know, I don't regret anything. I love my kids, seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, of course I do. But, yeah, I could have seen me going a lot of different directions with my life, and one of them being one of the last major companies I worked for wanted me to move to, I had a chance, I worked for a lumber company, I could have moved to Arcata, California, where the biggest redwoods are and everything, this and that, which would have been a great experience. Who knows how would have came out of that, but no, you know, I don't regret anything. Damn kids, damn it. No, just kidding.
That's interesting.
I don't think that it would have been nice for you to cut down the biggest redwoods around, but, you know, I mean, that's on you.
Yeah, boy, so, his arms would be tired.
Yeah, I mean, that's just me.
Call me Bunyan.
Yeah. Hey, Paul. Me, myself.
What about you?
Thanks for asking.
I'll get you there.
I regret not being able to know what it feels like to be pregnant.
Well, yeah.
I could, a lot of people have, I mean, there's people that I know who it's the most amazing experience of their life. Our friend Danica, who was a guest on our show, it was like one of the worst things ever for her.
Yeah, I don't think Karen liked it either.
Yeah, just didn't really like it. And I know she wants more kids, and I know she'll probably do it again. But she was just like, yeah, no, I wouldn't wish this on anyone.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have had that experience.
Me too.
I also, sometimes I think about, like, how much I love my stepchildren, how much I love my niece, London, and how much I love my grandkids. And I do love my stepchildren and my niece, but there's the way that I feel about the grandkids is a kind of love that I've never, ever experienced before. And I kind of feel like, if I could feel that kind of love, I can't even imagine what it would be like for something that also...
To have a biological child.
Yes, that came out of my body. Like, would the... I mean, obviously the bonds would have been different and more deep. Or maybe? I don't know, because
I haven't had that. It depends on if they looked more like you or more like Daryl.
Could be, too. Yeah. If they looked more like Daryl, I'm not sure if I would like them.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm just
sure
kidding.
They'd be adorable.
I make beautiful babies.
I know. You really do.
We'd have had a cute couple little gingers going on. Like, right. Well, Brett.
We already have a couple little gingers.
Yeah, we do have some gingers going on.
But throw Lisa some DNA for Pete's sake. You already have all your mini-me's.
Oh, no. She has great skin. We'd have made beautiful babies.
With the root beer brown eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
We talked about it.
And I think the cute thing about it is with Lisa being able, I mean, she was really close with our kids because they were young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, she got pretty much a fresh one that just was 2 years old, still a little
wet. Fresh one. It was
right out the
oven.
Right off the black
mud. Yeah,
I gave her a fresh one at, you know, too. But with the grandkids, especially with the few of the older ones, we spent more time with it. Caden came straight from the hospital to our house, and lived with us, you know, and stuff. So she got that attachment. So yeah, but no, you are a great mother.
Thank you.
And you would have made an incredible spoiling mother that I would have had to be like, you can't do that with kids, Lisa.
Well, there's something to be said. I mean, I don't know if we've talked about this in real life or on the podcast, but there's something to be said about a couple who one has five biological children and one has none, because you put it together and he's letting them juggle knives and I'm watching their every single move.
It used to drive her crazy. She'd be like, every move, I'm like, they're not going to kill. They're fine, you know? Yeah,
especially with Caden, my oldest grandson and stuff. Mm-hmm. I would like, oh, he's going to knock his head. He's going to touch this. He's going to burn that. He's going to. And Steph and Daryl's like, let him do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And you want to do it again?
Yeah. And I just, I don't know. I felt like that was a little bit of child abuse there.
Our old house.
It's called neglect.
Yeah, right. Our old house, when Caden first came, or when he started to crawl and stuff, Lisa put like the couches, pillows, every around. I mean, it was like a big playpen of pillows. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
You are the perfect law log. You have a lot of love to give.
It was funny. And,
you know,
dogs, the
guys, and kiddos.
He's got a beautiful head. No dents.
He does. No dents whatsoever. Real nice, long, beautiful hair, you know, now. So, yeah. So that's okay. That's that. If you could have. Are you happy with the way that your career path went, or would we? Daryl had already talked about that. Mm-hmm. That you would wish you would have been able to go into the military and stuff. Are you glad that you went to the career path you did?
Yeah, I think I kind of always wanted to, but when I was in a play in high school, I think it was Blythe Spirit. You know, everybody writes a little bio in the cast thing, and I said when I grew up, I was a junior or senior in high school, I said when I grew up I wanted to be a journalist or a bartender.
So, you know, they kind of go hand in hand.
Well, I mean, we're doing the hard news now, so right, there's the journalistic aspect.
Nice.
And then, you know, I've been in the bar business really pretty much for 30 years. So, yeah, I'm fine with all of that. I was thinking when you gave me this project that my family and I went to a Winter Park for a summer vacation when I was probably 8 or 9. We had just moved to Colorado again. And there wasn't a ton to do. There wasn't the internet. I didn't have a smartphone. We didn't watch TV. I don't even know if they had one. We went on a couple of hikes that were really beautiful. And I wanted to write. And I was just always really creative in that regard and stuff. And so my mom took me to whatever store and got me a notebook. And I think the name of the couple that I was writing about was Megan and Craig. I'm 9. I don't know anything about adult relationships or romance or whatever. It's just like, he said my pants were pretty. I don't know. And but I wrote, you know, I don't know, a chapter and a half about Megan and Craig, and who knows what happened with them. But I think if I
you
was,
two, you could finish
the
story.
It's still up there. You
finish
know where Megan and Craig went to.
I think that if I was not so lazy and intimidated, because I did buy lots of books about it and take lots of creative writing classes outside of regular work or school curriculum, I think that I could have been a published and maybe sold a couple copies writer. But all the business stuff really bored me, and like I was afraid to get an agent. And, you know, like, not be true to my artistic integrity. I was just a punk-ass kid. I don't know. But I think I could have done that if I had to go back.
No.
If I could do that and support myself, I still don't think that's a thing.
Well, and guys, I got to tell you this. Our openings, everything that we open our shows with on the day of the podcast, like the pulses,
Paul reads,
it comes from our creative writer right here.
Thank
so
you.
You do such a great job. And I mean, I can't wait to hear what it's going to be.
Thank you.
So you do that very well.
It's the best three sentences of your week, chumps.
Chumps.
I do think you're creative, and if you sat down, you could probably do it. But I do think that you would also be a very good editor, because you're good with the...
love that shit.
Yeah, just... And,
you like to...
I hate it. And stuff, yeah, it's... But, like, to put a sentence together or
thank
write...
You.
Make sure everything's written right and spelled right, yeah.
With
very punctual. Yeah.
And spelling and stuff.
Yeah, when I was younger, I think that I would have liked to be an actor also, probably a stage actor, just because I like that immediate response and all that other stuff. But as you get older, first of all, I would be so good. I'd be really famous, and I don't have time for that.
Right,
I like my privacy. Mm-hmm. But also the... whether you're a musician or an actor and you're doing something that's not the movies or television, to do the same crap over and over again, I think would be really stifling, and I would hate it. Mm. And just strangers walking up to you and saying, "A man, he says what?" or whatever your your tagline is.
Yes.
I like being my private little middle to lower class self.
I think people would come up to Shelley and go, "February."
Capital F-R-U-A-R-Y at the end.
See there? Look, she's on. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yes. Yeah. What about you, Lisa?
Let's go to the whole famous or no famous thing.
Yeah.
Because I did think that by the time I was 20 or so, I would definitely be famous.
Me too.
Yeah. And stuff. So, yeah.
I thought you would be, not that I would be.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No.
Well, thank you.
Sure.
But, that's the thing. It's like now, in retrospect, now that I'm 50-something, yeah, it's like I'd like to be famous.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be Taylor Swift famous.
Oh, like you want to be, you do or don't want to be like, oh no, that's just dangerous.
It's dangerous and it's just too much. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. You get to the point where it's not real life anymore.
No.
You know, everything is almost like a big bubble. I mean, I don't know. I'm not her, obviously. But
I think it's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, it just seems like it has to be all so surreal. Mm. You want to go to the goddamn gym, and you have to rent out the whole gym.
Yeah,
yeah. And it has nothing to do with money.
It's just how you are now.
Yeah, and...
You can't be impulsive.
Right. I would want to be... maybe a... tennis star famous.
Although, I want to be Sterling Brown famous. The guy that plays Randall on This Is Us.
Yeah. Where you're actually very, very talented, but not everybody knows who you are.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I think things kind of a little bit have changed for her over this last year, though, since she started seeing Kelsey.
Oh, absolutely.
She's actually doing a lot more, and it seems like she's kind of actually becoming, like being herself, not so everybody around her so much. She was just at Coachella with them, hanging out, dancing around, and they're in the middle of a crowd, and just, they're like, the camera, like, wait, look, there they are in the middle of this crowd hanging out. I mean, she probably hasn't had that good of a feeling for quite some time.
Yeah, that's but nice. There still has had to have been a million security guards, and, I mean, she has to be more...
Well, as many death threats and weird shit like
exactly.
that, or,
against her, but... you still have all of that.
I still think she looks a little bit more relaxed than I've seen her in the past years.
Well,
I
you just got think a she's guy happy. That size protecting you, I'd be pretty relaxed,
yeah.
too.
Well, there's that. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, as far as...
But so, can I ask you, as far as what you would have been famous for, would it have been singing or acting? What do you think?
The thing that's funny with me is that I don't...
Or you're cooking.
It would be cooking. That's the research. Thing that's funny. Baha. Baha.
Hello.
So I'm also at that age now that I can't remember when I spoke about this or not. And if I have mentioned this before, I'm sorry for repeating. But my singing, I've always resented. I don't know if you guys... Have I ever told you that?
We talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, I think me and Shelley have. Especially when I was younger and I wasn't as confident as I am now, I think that the older that I've gotten, I've blossomed more. Not even like, oh my gosh, I'm pretty now or whatever, but I like me, so I think that makes other people like me. When I didn't like me, I felt like the only thing that people liked about me was my singing, which made me resent that.
Okay, see that.
Yes, and there would be times, and it wasn't because it was all in my head. There was a lot of times where somebody wouldn't give me the time of day until after they heard me sing. Mm-hmm. They'd make fun of me. Until after they heard me sing, mm-hmm. I knew that it was happening, that's another, this just kind of goes on to something else. I remember one time when I was in my early 20s that somebody asked me why I dressed so weird. I wore black all the time, kind of was pale, would wear weird hats and this and that.
Dark black hair all the time.
Yeah, I had like jet black hair. I kind of was goth before there was goth, and I really wasn't goth, but it was just like my own thing. And I remember telling that person, because you paid attention to that, not my weight. And stuff. So you saw this weird person, but not this fat girl. And stuff. So that being said, that's a really long answer.
No, beautiful.
I don't think that I ever wanted to be famous for singing, because I knew I was good at that. I've always wanted a challenge, and I knew I wanted to do something that would impress people, but not be just me. And so I really I've always wanted to be Madonna. I wanted to be able to, but kind of opposite, I wanted to be an actress who sang.
Got it.
Yeah. Not a singer who acts, but I want, it's like, okay, well, I'm famous for my acting.
What's your triple threat? Are you a dancer too?
I can dance.
Uh-huh.
I've seen the videos.
There's shoulders.
Yeah.
There's shoulders happening.
Yep. You want to hear a really funny story, you guys?
Obviously.
One time I auditioned for... play. I think it was Godspell, but I don't remember. It was at the Arvada Center, and I knew the director. And So later on, after I sang Memories from Cats, it was good, but probably not the best song for me because it's really, really super high and sure. kind of whatever. Anyways, I got to the second audition. I did something else. I didn't make it through the next stage. And he told me later, he said, if your singing was half as strong as your dancing, I would have hired you in a second.
Oh, whoa.
I swear to
Maybe
God,
Maybe you should work
story.
On that singing thing. You'll really go places, kid.
It was the thing that was funny, you guys, is that I was so scared for the dancing part of it that I went to the auditions a day early and learned all the dances. I watched them.
Wicked.
And stuff. And so I memorized them. And then I knew the director, so yeah. I was like, can I come to the first day of auditions? I'm not till the second day, yep. but I'd like to just watch to see your process, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And so I sat there, watched him giving the steps, doing this, and practice it all night. I'm not that good. I mean, I can dance.
And you're good at preparation.
Exactly.
Seriously.
It's, yeah.
I remember somebody practicing a little spelling bee the day before the surprise spelling bee.
So you're calling me a cheater?
No, we didn't know we were cheating.
Yeah.
Shelley, do you have the list? I did make it today.
We did, yeah. Yep. So anyways, if I could have been famous, I would have wanted to be famous for acting. I would have been okay with being famous for sports, too.
Sure.
Because then I'd been good in shape.
Nice. Well,
yeah.
Triple threat.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. My soccer playing days are coming back for me. Oh,
bend it like Beckham, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
And sing a song.
Yeah. So, anyways, okay. That is, let me ask another question.
One more for the intro?
This is one more for the okay. intro. What is one thing that you feel like would have changed your life if it could have been you? If you could have done something that would have completely and totally changed your life?
Well, just off the top of my head, that would have been great to invent some sort of technology or medicine or something that could, you know, keep people that we've lost around for longer.
Yeah.
So I would say that I would be a scientist genius, billionaire,
okay.
Batman.
Oh.
That would have definitely, that's not a little thing. That would, yeah.
For some odd reason, I think, and it's going to sound totally absurd, but I think if I was a little bit taller, I'd have been a little more successful.
You would have been a baller.
I wish I was tall. But I don't understand. You know, I at times, like I said, in some of the positions I was in, a lot of people didn't take me serious because I was young. I started a career at such a young age and with older people.
And they had to look down to you?
And I seriously think they didn't. I wasn't intimidating.
Do you think that was the size or your age or both?
I think both. I think they kind of, you know, being a shorter stature kind of guy and a younger guy trying to get across to somebody, you know, I'm being serious here about right. the job you need to be doing. And they would kind of look at me like, I'm not. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That type sucks. Of thing. And it's not like you're minuscule. You're not Tom Thumb over there. He's an average sized dude.
I'm not Paul. not Paul, our producer. I mean, that was that little short guy.
That was Tiny Tim. Not Tiny Paul. Oh my gosh. And he can't even cut this out because he's the one who cuts it out.
No, it's funny. It's all good. Not you, Paul. You're fine.
Hold me closer, Tiny Paulie.
Oh my gosh.
But no, I mean, I just at times feel like that, you know, you know, but later in life, when I became a doorman, I was, you know, intimidating son of a bitch.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sure.
No, I just never thought about your size one way or the other.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, but that's interesting in the business world. Well, of course you did, because it matters.
Right.
But interesting. Okay, what about you, Lise?
You know, yours was very thought provoking, and I think that.
Did I beat Daryl?
Well, yeah, I mean, his is, I mean, it's important to him.
Yes.
Yours was important to you and stuff. But you know how I think that mine is always better. Importanter.
Yeah.
Than both of you. Mine would be, my life would have changed if I never would have eaten a donut.
Oh, that started the so all of a sudden you're a donut lover?
Yeah.
After it was love at first donut?
If I never would have eaten a donut, everything would have changed.
You think?
We'll be back with the meat right after this. Take a walk inside my shoes, a pipe I didn't choose. Spend the night inside of my skin. I could have been you. You could.
Welcome to the Meat Guys. Welcome to the Meat Guys. It is time for Meat Guys. Talking about some serious stuff today.
Yeah.
We're talking about different circumstances. If time stood still, if you could switch places, if you could change activities of yourself and others. It's really deep and it's really heavy, guys. And then after that, we'll sprinkle it with some fart jokes just to keep it real.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it real. Butt stuff. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Do you want me to ask you a question?
Sure. Because
I will.
Okay.
If you could stop someone from doing harm to themselves or others, of course, would you? And then what would that be? Who's the person? What's the circumstance? Is it a famous person? Is it a historical figure? Is it someone in your life? Do you wish that they would have done things differently?
I feel like the trajectory of this question is that if you, like, you could say, I wish that Hitler was never, didn't do what he did, or I wish that the atomic bomb didn't drop, or, you know, just things that are huge.
Right.
You could, and we all wish that there wasn't mass killings or, you know, stuff like that. But I think.
So wait. Hold on. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You're saying you're anti-genocide.
Well, yeah. I'm like, keep going. Yeah. I think, but I also do believe that everything would change in not necessarily a good way.
Sure. Butterfly effect.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And stuff. So all the big things that happened needed to happen for us to be where we are right now.
That is correct. However, but just for fun and pretend.
So I can't go to doing, like, I wish that I, you know, would have, you know, I don't know. I can't go to the big ones. What?
Yeah, let's keep it micro. Like, I wish I would have stuck with the Viverin Trucker Speed diet, which is my new Easter egg for 2024. Viverin? Yeah, Viverin. It's the Trucker Speed.
Or no dose.
Oh, no dose. With a little umlaut over the Z.
Yep,
carry on.
That stuff was great.
Yep.
So the thing that came to my mind really fast when I don't know why this came, but that's what this is all about, was that I wish I could have done something to help save Amy Winehouse. I really believe that there was so much more that needed to come from her.
Think of how many songs we've missed.
Yeah, yes. And you know, there might be something to be said about, you know,
cautionary tales.
Well, yeah, and also, like, it was that time, and that's why she became such a legend, and why, you know, because the same
it kind of worked for her in a sense.
Yes, unfortunately, you know, people who die at 106 don't get the legendary status that Marilyn Monroe did at 32 or whatever that was and stuff. So I don't know, maybe it was just the way that was supposed to be as well, but I wish that, you know, that her dad would have not said no.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I wish, if we're going in that direction, that I was at JonBenet's house on Christmas Eve and could have stopped whatever happened there.
Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, because that doesn't, like, affect a million people other than people who are stuck with the case.
Or maybe it does. I mean, maybe all the things that they screwed up change how they do police work and detective work now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But, gosh, I wish I could have just taken that little girl and gone to a real Santa's lap, and maybe we'd just be like, you live with me now, we're fine.
Wow. Yeah, live with
take off your
people.
Makeup, put on your PJs, we're going to be fine.
Right,
I'm kind of in the same direction that Lisa went, and there's a couple of stars that really, I mean, their deaths really, you know, it's funny, they're stars, they're not people you know.
Right.
I mean, you just know from the outside, you don't know the inside, but two guys that I lost that really affected a lot of how I feel about how people handle other people. One being Lane Staley. They didn't find him for 2 weeks. He had been dead for 2 weeks. Come on, folks. You know,
heartbreaking.
And, you know, they said that they kind of found, well, he hasn't been coming, he hasn't been taking money out of his account and seeing his drug dealer. You know, that's why they're like, oh, Lane hasn't been going to his drug dealer. We got to go see what's going on. You know, that one to me is very, very sad, very lonely. He died of a broken heart because his girlfriend had passed away. But, I mean, there's something I just wish that guy definitely, I could have jumped in and been some kind of savior and helped him, because the music that he could still be putting out would be incredible.
Of course.
The second one, in the same sense, would be Prince.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, to die in an elevator, you know, and of a nobody knew. Everybody thought Prince was on the straight and narrow, mm-hmm. never did any kind of drugs, did this or that, to find out that it was fentanyl that he was doing and stuff. And the day before, he was out riding his bicycle to the local 7-Eleven, you know, and they said it was not, you know, unnormal to see him riding around. But once again, what a lonely, you know, who's watching these people?
Right.
You know, and, you know, just because you get a paycheck, this and that, I mean, but we don't know. Maybe they're like, they pushed people out of their...
Well, and it's not even just watching. I mean, you don't need to be watched or grown-ass person,
well,
but who's caring about these people?
That's right. That's what
and
I'm
have
saying
a buddy
too.
System.
Yeah.
You know, have things to do where people are counting on you and well, vice versa.
Well, and mm-hmm. it goes back to the whole famous thing, because at some point when you're so, so famous, who really cares about you and who's using you?
And who has your best interest
exactly.
in mind.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
and like I said, I know people probably become assholes, this and that, and they treat people bad and stuff, mm-hmm. but you still got to care about their well-being, you know, and stuff. And, you know, There's some, the sad thing is there's some pictures of Layne Staley like a week before he passed away, and he probably weighed 90 pounds wet, mm-hmm. you know, and just, it was, and you kind of like, I hate people to go, well, you know, that's their own fault. They knew what they were trying to do. But do you think maybe he was still trying to be out, trying to say, maybe somebody will notice me
right.
and say something and try and reach out to him, or maybe he didn't want the help, but, you know, that's that type of stuff really kind of hurts me, and I just would hope. You know, when you see somebody hurt and you can physically see, you know, say something.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I mean, just do. Try and be some good kind of a friend and help them out.
Yeah. I mean, you can only care as much as you can care. I mean, there's, you know, people who get diabetes and decide they're still going to drink.
Right.
You want to them to take care of themselves, and you can only do what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to also take care of themselves.
100%.
Well, and with a weird thing, and this is really personal, and just knowing, I didn't know that my very best friend was dealing with some of the demons that he was. I knew, you know, he had some problems. But to take his own life, I would have never expected him to take his own life.
He had everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that one still is a major shocker to me. Mm-hmm. So that one would be probably, I'd go back. And I mean, that right there, maybe I was guilty of not being the friend that he needed at the time. But when you don't answer your phone when I call you, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever the case in most suicides. Yeah. I think their minds are made up and whatever.
That's taking a different turn or whatever. But I do have to say, losing two of my best friends in about the same year with John, which was Daryl's best friend, and Colleen, which is Shelley and I's best friend, within a year of each other. We, with Colleen having cancer, we got to do our say goodbyes.
Oh, we were with her all the time.
And put everything out there and say I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
and say it didn't matter,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, get all of that stuff out. And I never had...
Get a first smooch.
Yeah, Daryl got his smoocher. And I never... I think that's why Colleen's death, I'm not going to say didn't bother me,
mm-hmm.
but didn't crush me, my soul, the way John's did.
Yeah.
Because you always have that thought that you could have, if you would have just talked to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, me and John always had this connection where I could talk him out of things, where I could, and stuff. And then you put that... You know,
you're the voice of reason.
Yeah, and that's the stupid shit about suicide, and that's what pisses you off so bad, where you mm-hmm. go through all these emotions, where you're sad and you're mad, and it's like, if you didn't, you weren't already dead, I'd have fucking killed you.
Exactly.
You know, so
it probably she has tried nothing to do with times. Any of you.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So that I mean, took a sad turn. But
no.
Anyways, that is one thing I wish. Yeah. I wish he would have talked to us.
And even if you couldn't have stopped it, just to ask some questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I really think even. People are going to do what they're going to do, but just sometimes the actual physical act of being present and being there, and it sounds like such modern psych speak, and it's annoying, but really being there is a big freaking deal when people don't think that there's anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're just like, I'm here. You don't have to say anything. I don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
I can hold your hand.
Let's just sit here.
I don't have to fix you. That's right.
Exactly. Okay, going on to something a little more lighter.
Bad Witch made me cry a little bit.
I
that was really
a
good.
Bit
that
myself.
Was.
I'm not gonna lie.
She's got feelings, you guys.
In the bottom of my black heart.
Feelings.
So, okay, let me ask you a question. If you could, would you want to be president?
Hell no.
No. Yeah,
not for all the love or money in the world.
Me neither.
No.
Would you want to be a rock star?
For a short time, yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of rock star? Like obviously not a Taylor Swift, because we don't want to be that famous.
I would want to be Michael Hutchins' girlfriend, who was equally talented, and tour together, and have Australian beer every morning for
breakfast.
Like
a Natalie Imbruglia kind of person?
Yeah, he dated Kylie Minogue. I'd be a Kylie Minogue level of fame. I do the locomotion, you guys.
Perfect.
Yes, how about you?
I've always wanted to be a rock star, of course, but I would be maybe, like my buddy Scotty's coming back, they're going to do a one-night show, we talked about the Exy. Mm-hmm. I thought they were the perfect level of famous. You could approach them and hang out with them and everything, and we were still like, you know, high school buddy talk, blah, 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 this, but they were well known and traveled. So I think I'd go Exy's level.
When Scott came, so the lead singer of the Exy's, when Scott came out for John's funeral,
oh God.
We went to a bar after all the hoopla or whatever and stuff, and these girls came up to him and they were like, "Are you Scott Stevens?" And he's like, "Sure am!" Like he was just like,
smiley.
Yeah, just. And then he ran up because there was a
cover band.
Cover band playing it. No Excuses. And he came back to us. He goes, "You guys, I got front row."
And he was serious.
And he wasn't joking.
At a 100 person capacity bar in Arvada, Colorado.
I was just front row jamming with the band. And I'm like, yeah,
oh my
were.
God,
he still has the passion.
He's adorable.
Yeah. That's the level of famous I'd want to get to.
I'd like to be about that rock star famous, although just to do one freaking stadium show.
Huge arena, yes.
To walk out at Red Rocks.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
The ultimate
cool
place.
Too.
Walk out at Red
with
Rocks and just go,
yep.
Hello, Denver! And then pass out.
I would even be fine with being a background singer at Red Rocks.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely.
If anybody wants just one song, it doesn't even have to be like a whole full set or anything. Just one time on the stage at Red Rocks would be amazing.
I'd be happy being a musician or a famous person that could do that art enough to just sustain my lifestyle.
Right.
Just to be able to live off of it.
Yes,
you know what would even be fun is to go hang out and be like in that 80s band. Those guys have enough.
Oh, yeah.
They have enough fun.
Sure.
Yeah, that would be fun too.
Yeah,
and go see them.
And being able to perform. I mean, how fun is that? Okay, would you want to be an actor? I already said yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, what about a sports figure?
Uh-uh.
No?
I don't like athletic activity.
Daryl?
Oh, of course. Yeah. When I was a kid, I played football, and like I said, once again, my size was not the greatest, but I was mean and not mean, but I was like just I went all out because I knew I was so small. My nickname was Animal.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Animal.
And I seriously thought I was going to be the next O.J. Simpson, not a murderer, but the runner.
Yes.
I always wore number 32, and I was a running back. This and that.
And you were renting
cars. Not knowing
cars.
That I was only a 3-0. White kid.
Yeah, well, you know, close.
For those of you who have never seen Daryl, he's not as small as he's making out.
He was actually very, very... you said you were 4'11 in the...
I was under 4 foot when I went into the 7th grade.
Wow.
That's how I met my two best friends, Joel and Dana, because they had to help me up to get a drink out of the water fountain.
Lisa and Daryl's meet cute as he was in my pocket.
Yeah, I carried him around for a while.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
I would be okay with being a sports figure as long as I didn't get hurt.
Sure.
I don't want to be like a hockey or a boxer.
Okay.
But I think that it would be cool because then I would be in shape.
Curling, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe curling.
Well, it's funny.
Curling's good.
Yeah.
When me and Lisa first hooked up, she was playing softball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
right. And she played softball for the video store. Uh-huh. And I would go watch her. And she could crank it. She was pretty good.
She's very strong.
Yeah.
Like bull.
Yeah. She is strong like bull.
I hit ball for
one last one. Would you go to the moon?
No. I would go to the moon if they knocked me out and I woke up and I was like,
moon?
I'm on the moon. I don't want to necessarily take that trip. Mm-hmm. It seems claustrophobic and a little. We've all seen the Challenger. I will let other people take that challenge.
Yeah,
how
me
about
too.
You guys?
I thought you were going to say I will go to the moon if William Shatner's with me.
No. I don't want, like, if I had all the money and people are like, I want to go and, like, pay Elon Musk to be in that for 2.5 seconds or whatever, fuck that.
I'll do a million other things with Elon Musk, but that's not it.
I'll buy $1 on Temu. I'll buy a million things on Temu.
Yeah. I will go because I think the studio's still set up in California.
Come on.
Oh, yes, whatever.
Come on. That was from our controversy episode.
I would definitely go because, you know, I'm that crazy of a guy.
Have fun.
Yeah, I think I lost my sense of adventure about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
It's just a big piece of cheese. What are we doing?
I love cheese.
I do, too.
There's cheese on Earth, sky, everybody.
Really? You don't have to go to the moon.
That's right.
There you go.
Don't need to do it.
So as far as these things,
yes.
People that are famous, this and that, what do you think you could have done, you could do better than the person who's doing it? Mm. I.e., do you think you could be a better interviewer than Oprah?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Every politician
ever. Every Wednesday.
You would be a better politician?
Than anybody.
Yeah.
I just don't want to.
Okay.
I think I would be a pretty good judge. Oh. I'm maybe not as wise as some judges. Maybe a little too
judgy,
weepy. No, I should be like, you didn't mean it.
No, Shelley be like, I know you didn't mean to do that. I'm so sorry.
No,
and I'd be like, did you see what she's wearing?
she should go to judge.
Woo, woo. Fashion police.
No, I'd be like, I know that we abolished the death penalty, but you really suck. I don't want you walking around anywhere. I don't even want you walking around in prison.
Yeah.
So I take back all of it. I'd be a terrible judge.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who would you be a better person then?
I think I'd be a pretty good counselor.
Yeah, you would.
I don't know. That's no famous counselor.
High schools?
No, I don't want to deal with kids.
Grown-ups?
Counselor to the stars?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I just think that I could give some good advice. It's like,
do give good advice.
Do as I say, not as I do. Or just listening.
Yeah.
And just, you know, sometimes I feel like I don't articulate it right, but...
You're a great articulator.
Oh, thank you.
Sure. What about you, Daryl? Who could you do a better job
I think right now I could totally kick Vince Neil's ass at singing all Motley Crue songs.
That is setting the bar pretty low.
I didn't even think of something like that. That's freaking true. Kid,
star, Mike.
No. He like does every other word.
It's
like,
what a me, lot of watermelon, come with me, wow, let's fart, whoa.
Does he have songs about watermelons?
Yeah.
Everything, he doesn't sing about it. It's no words that are even in the song.
Yeah, and it's,
you
know? It's like, whoa,
stop in the traffic light.
Do you think he's like scatting?
No, it's
no,
so
I think that he just can't breathe.
He can't breathe, so he just says what he can say, but yeah. And
it's like wheezing.
Yeah. He needs to get some breathing techniques going.
So, again, I'm like, put me in, coach. Okay. I'm going for it.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. The next Vince Neil on the tour is Daryl Brown.
Because I thought I was Vince Neil when I was younger.
That is so funny. That's about all that I have.
Great.
Do you have any more questions, Daryl?
No, I think you covered it. You copied my page perfectly.
Well, perfect.
All right.
Yay. Well, that was really insightful.
It was. Yeah. Daryl wants to be Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah, he is Dr. Feelgood.
He's the one that makes you feel all right.
Hi. He is James Brown. Feelgood.
That's Lisa's gig. She's the hot tubber.
We will be back with what you're talking about.
All right. It's my life.
Hey, everybody, this is our segment called Whatcha Talking About. It's where we talk about anything we want to. It's totally random. There's no reason for it.
There's a reason. But...
And we all find different things from different places, except for Shelley always gets hers from the same email news source. No, I'm just kidding. She usually, it was nice news for a really long time.
It was.
And now it's been the history one.
It has.
Is it that again?
No, ma'am.
Well, there you go, girl.
It is an email. It's called Recommended Reads, and they are like the modern version of Reader's Digest. So, like, they will send you different places for different articles. Ooh. So this article is from Interesting Facts. And guys, we need to know this because we go to so many fancy dinners.
Yes.
This is 6 table etiquette tips that you might not know.
Oh, good.
What do you think's on here?
Putting your elbows on the table.
That's right. Don't do it.
Yeah.
The only reason that it's, the only time it's okay is between courses when you're being conversational.
And having a smoke.
Yes, of course.
No, you're not supposed to smoke.
No, you're totally supposed to smoke. Like with a long,
People are eating?
Yeah, what's her name? Cruella de Vil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that.
When you're eating puppies?
Yes.
Okay.
But I think that it got started because people took it as body language, like you were being confrontational or perhaps violent.
Oh.
Like throwing elbows.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like, hand me the biscuits.
I thought it was just rude. It is, but like you were like aloof.
Yes, yeah. Aloof and violent. I'm keeping it to myself. But I want to kick your ass.
Right. I'm not going to tell anybody, but I am going to put my elbows on the table.
Okay, pick another one.
I think that burping.
Yeah, don't do it.
Okay.
Also, you want to put a napkin on your lap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not on your face. No. Not tucked in.
Oh, that's
like your shirt.
Yeah.
Like Whippy eating a burger.
Right.
Or not at the old white trash bin in the restaurant. Yeah.
You put it in your lap.
Okay.
Here's one I didn't know, and I've been breaking for my whole life. Mm-hmm. Wait on the bread. It's not like an appetizer. It's you're supposed to eat it with the meal.
Okay, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to say unless it's spaghetti.
Not with the ole, the good dip and stuff.
No. Yeah, says the bread is to be eating with the courses at a formal dinner. So as tempting as the smell of freshly baked bread may be, wait.
No,
or just eat the bread.
No. Yeah, no. And see, they taught us wrong at the Bonefish Grill.
Right.
Because they're like, we have warm bread with this oil, and they're like, bring it. They don't even wait.
I'm gonna preface that with saying that unless it's spaghetti, eat the bread first.
Well, I agree with you.
Okay, good.
And I do like dipping it in balsamic and mm-hmm. oil and all mm-hmm. of that good yep. stuff. But this is for the hoity and the toity.
Oh.
So there's more rules.
Okay.
Do not spread the entire slice with butter. Likewise, don't cut a bread roll in half and butter both halves. The reasoning is that this may leave you with butter smeared across your face. Who eats like this?
Yes, yeah, seriously, it's like
damn Yetis.
The correct way to eat it is to break off a small piece and butter just that piece. Continue to butter one bite at a time. And to avoid confusion and ever having sex, the bread plate is to your left.
I don't want to be hoity-toity.
I don't either.
If buttering my bread is wrong, I don't want to be right.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Everything else is not nearly as exciting as the bread facts. So look it up or don't. Just, go to Chipotle. Live your life.
Okay.
Perfect. Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I will not live by that.
No.
But I like that you thought about it. Daryl,
Opened an email.
Mine's a little long, so
okay.
And you know how much your man, which loves to read, but
okay, perfect.
We'll get comfy.
I just thought this was kind of funny, and it's coming out at a time I'm like, lady, you're not even relevant in the world right now. But you know what you don't do? You don't call. You know what you don't do? Don't call Courtney Love a Swiftie.
Oh,
because she's not a Swiftie.
Oh no.
No. In an interview in the Evening Standard, the whole front woman made her thoughts known about pop singer Taylor Swift. It's not important. She's not important.
No.
She says she might be a safe place for young girls. She probably is the Madonna of now and not interesting in any way, shape, or form as an artist.
I think Courtney Love is just jealous.
Yeah, I don't remember asking her her opinions.
Well, yeah, and I'm sorry, you had kind of a career, but no, now you don't. So don't be talking about the Swiftie. Love further elaborates about she isn't a fan of Madonna either. Well, duh, we've known that for how many years that you don't like Madonna?
At her.
Right.
Ooh, yeah. They're not friends.
No. She goes, I don't like her. She doesn't like me. I love desperately seeking Susan, the movie, I'm like,
that was,
that's how long ago. But, hold on, go to the next page. Ta-da.
I like your sound of turning the page on your phone.
I have not liked Lana Del Rey. Is that her? Yeah.
Yeah,
Lana. Yeah. She doesn't like Lana Del Rey. She was mad at her when she did the song, remade a John Denver song. Says, I was looking up to her and using her music talents and sound for my own sound.
So,
but I don't like her.
Because she ripped somebody else off.
But she thought she
Courtney,
did it.
Courtney, what do you like?
Courtney did right. a cover of Gold Dust Woman. Come on. And also, take another hit of Smack, you dumb bitch. Yeah. When nobody asked you and you're not relevant
anymore. Yeah, she
anymore.
Goes, I loved
Smack
it.
Smack is whack.
I loved it until she, Take Me Home, Country Roads. Okay, so, you know, she's got a problem with her. As for Beyonce, Love commented, Cowboy Carter is a significant, but said... Still not as much. She doesn't think she's done that much for country music. Although
she just came out with her first country song.
Although this is what I thought was funny. She's doing something that black women haven't done in country music. I'm sorry, black women have done country music before.
For decades!
And there's a lot of good black country artists right now.
But just going on, you know, just she sits and rants and raves and puts people down. And I'm like, honey, what have you done for anybody lately?
Exactly. You whiner. Yeah. Sit down, Courtney.
Yeah, nobody cares, Courtney. Sorry.
You know who my favorite black country artist is?
Who?
Hootie.
Oh, he's good. Yes. What's his name? Darius Rucker?
Talk about a crossover guy. I mean, he went from the Blowfish. Now he's a top country artist. He's great.
And who's the? What's the name of that country duo that we like? They're God.
Dang it.
Mark Sennemeyer loves them too. I will remember.
We'll put it in the liner notes.
They're great too. So good.
But it just cracks me up. I'm like, lady, you haven't had anything out for how many years?
Yeah.
And to say you were kind of modeling your sound around somebody else, and then you don't like because you did some other kind of a song. Now I threw that. I trash it. I'm like, you can't model yourself around anybody. Although, you know, when we talked about it earlier, going from singer to actress, I thought she was great.
She really was.
The story about
Larry Flint.
Oh,
she was phenomenal.
Great actress. And she kind of cleaned herself up and started to look good again.
Yeah,
but now she's back to just trashing everybody. And I'm like, come on. You don't even have a career. But so that's my witcha.
Yeah, well, put the negativity in the trash can, lady.
It's called the Warren Treaty.
Oh.
And stuff. That's the name. They're African-American, husband and wife.
Oh,
and
they're great.
They're amazing.
All right. Well, I'll have to give that a listen.
Yeah, Warren Treaty. Okay, so.
Is that a play on Warren Beatty?
Warren Treaty?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
That's just their name?
That's their name.
Yeah.
Okay. War and Treaty.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me double check that now.
It's fine. I didn't know if it was a peacetime pact or something.
Okay, there's that. Anyways,
what you talking about?
What I'm talking about, I need to do a shout out to Michelle Mina for actually recommending this show. I think that when we first started talking about it, which was quite some time ago, because she kept telling me to watch it, and then I was just watching other things and I didn't have time, and then she told me, like, I won't be your friend anymore unless
she did
watch it.
She threatened her.
She didn't really do that, but I think she might have. No. And so I was like, okay, we better watch it. And Daryl and I were hooked from the get-go. It's called Firefly Lane. It's about two best friends in three different times of their lives, when they're teenagers, when they're in their 20s, and then when they're in their 40s. Daryl hates shows that skip time because it confuses him.
It's confusing.
It is, but this is so good because it's the 70s and the 80s, 80s, 90s, and then 2004-ish stuff.
Cool.
And so obviously they're so dressed differently that you definitely know when they're in what and stuff.
What era,
And they're so good at doing the dress for the times, even like changing the hairstyles within from 80s to 90s, kind of thing. Yeah, and it's totally cute. It's about the two girls that are best friends, and then their other kind of guy best friend that they're both really, really
it's
good friends with. Yeah, they're like a trio.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of us, and it's, I can't wait for Shelley to see it. I really would love to watch it with her. It's a tearjerker. Daryl was, it was funny because I liked it from the beginning, but,
Total disclaimer. It's a chick flick show. I mean, a chick show, but I mean, it was well done. I truly loved it. And I'd be like, I'd get home, like, make dinner and be like, okay, Firefly.
Yeah. Well, and it was funny because Michelle had said, you know, this might be your next Gilmore Girls. Like, yeah. you can watch it by yourself.
Do it in your
stuff,
room type
and, you know,
thing.
Because that's what I did with Gilmore Girls. And me and Daryl usually watch everything together. And she's like, I don't think he's going to like it. And Daryl was like, but I want to watch things with you. And if we're going to start something, let's start it together. He actually, I think, liked it more than I did. And there was a one part where there was like a couple that kind of broke up and then they got back together. They kind of break up and go back together a bunch. But at one point, it was so cute. It made me love my husband like I was gonna die and jump his bones because this couple, like, they kissed for the first time and he started clapping. He was all and I was like, "You're so cute."
Oh,
and we
good
cried
job,
and we laughed and we had such a good time. And it was so, and it's only two seasons. So I wish there would be 100 more. Who's to say? But, anyways, very, very super cute. And that's
did they
what
say
I'm talking
there's
about.
There's more to come or no?
No.
Maybe not. There could be some kind of a sequel-y kind of thing.
Like a reboot.
Yeah.
Well, going back to the meat of the program, I think if I would have taken another path, I think it'd be really fun to be the people that do historical accurate sets and clothing design and hair and all of that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a great job?
It would be really fun. It was so neat to see them. The stuff that they were wearing, it just kind of cracked me up because, like I said, it went through, like, when I think Kate at one time, it wasn't like super 80s, but she was wearing like a suede jacket and skirt that was like a blue color and then blue nylons as well.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, I remember when everything was exactly the same.
Yes, monochromatic.
Monochromatic. Yes. And it was just so funny because it was like, I forgot that look.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we all think of 80s as like Madonna and
or
all the
neon
and the big looks, but the ones that were like kind of subtle that didn't last for that long.
Yes.
I mean, do you remember the butterfly belt?
Oh, the butterfly belt. And I really liked the time when everybody had Japanese writing on their shirts.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then there was the rugby striped Coca-Cola shirts. Mm-hmm. Who knows what our shirt said, but it was like the easy way to not get a tattoo.
Right.
It's just I don't know, my shirt says in Japanese, dumb.
Yeah, like, you dumb, you bought
you
this.
You dummy.
Yeah. So anyways, so, so cute. I recommend it highly. And I think it's with Katherine Heigl and Sarah Chalk, who Katherine Heigl is of the Grey's Anatomy fame. Sarah Chalk was the second Becky on Roseanne. I never really liked her. She did Scrubs too. I didn't like her before. Loved her in this.
Oh,
like,
yay.
I just, it was amazing. So that's what you're talking about.
That's great. I can't wait to watch it with you.
Yeah.
And also, don't you think that second Becky would be kind of a good indie rock band?
It would be.
The second Becky.
We all have a second Becky. Thank you, Denpa.
And no Roseanne.
We'll be back with WOW.
Now, ladies, it's time for the Cosmic Seeker of Love. He's more than just a mule, and he ain't no sloppy Joe. Oh, yeah. He's the man. Oh, yeah.
Wow, 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 wow. All right, guys. It's our wow moment. Ooh, we're getting pretty good at this.
It's like
a cannon. Yes. It is. It's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, we tried for how many years to get songs for other things, but we just wow ourselves.
We'll just do it ourselves.
That's right.
But yeah, here it is. It's our wow moment on our Witchy Wednesday. So, who would like to wow us first?
I'll go first. Mine's a little bit long, so I'm sorry, you guys, just stick with me.
Are you long wow-winded?
Yeah. My expertise is animals. I really, really like dogs, and this one is going to be another dog one. Did you guys know that Benji, the dog of the 70s?
Oh God, best dog actor next to Lassie.
Yeah, he was a mutt.
A mutt.
Yep.
Yep, he didn't have any kind of breed whatsoever.
Yeah, Benji was a mutt.
Yep.
I find that hard to believe. Cause
you know
he was
who else was a mutt? B-I-N-G-O. I have no idea what bingo was. So how did you find out that Benji was a mutt?
I was just going to leave it at that and be funny. That, like I said, it was really long and it's
she wasn't going to go deep.
But yeah. I will take a deeper dive.
I fucked up your tempo.
That's okay. It didn't go over the way I thought it was going to.
No, it worked good in rehearsal. Yeah. Being a rehearsal yesterday.
So here's, okay. So when I did the rescue on Sunday, there was a little dog there named Emmy that I totally fell in love with. And so they really didn't know what breed she was. They said possibly Yorkie mixed with Border Terrier. Mm-hmm. And so I looked up what a Border Terrier was.
She was Borky.
And I have the cutest story about her, the little dog. But anyways, so I kind of wanted to see what a Border Terrier was, because they said she probably would get up to about 25 pounds, which I guess would be about Linus's size.
Yeah, he's maybe about 20.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe a little more. And so I looked up a Border Terrier, and it looked like Benji. And so then I was like, well, was Benji a Border Terrier? So I looked up Benji, and they said, so there's three different explanations on what Benji. So Wikipedia says that Benji is a small golden mixed breed dog with the knack for being in the right place at the right time. Facts.net says, what we do know about Benji, it's called a mixed breed mutt. Joe Camp, the creator of Benji, does mention that he was a mix of Tibetan Terrier and Spaniel.
Wasn't he a rescue too? Didn't they find him or something?
I did deep that. Dive.
Okay, well.
MeTV said Benji's origin story goes like this: Frank Inn adopted the dog from a shelter in California. So there you go. See, that's
I read the book about Benji.
Yeah, he was 100% mutt mixed with Cocker Spanish Girl and Schnauzer and Poodle. So,
well, that's
the creator
a whole
of Benji
yeah.
says Tibetan Terrier and Spaniel. Somebody else says Cocker Spaniel, Schnauzer, Poodle. We don't know, mutt, but very cute. Looked like Emmy, who was also very cute.
They both are very cute. And yeah. I would go with the Schnauzer version, just observationally. But also, I will give either one of you a dollar, whoever can name Benji's girlfriend first.
Bethia?
Nope.
Was she white?
She was.
Oh, she was.
And it
was
Tiffany.
Yes.
Benji and Tiffany. Woo! Oh, my God. They came from the cockles of my fucking
wow.
mind.
I read the biography about Benji, and I didn't know that it was Tiff. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Where did that come from?
It came from Movie Dogs in the 70s. It's in the. It's behind the right lobe.
You guys want to see something God. Funny? What did we have for dinner yesterday, honey?
Tiffany!
Freaking
Tiffany!
We got crickets.
That is so weird.
Tiffany.
I seriously. Yeah. She was a little white dog in her
yeah,
name.
Yeah, she was cute.
Oh my goodness. What was she?
I didn't know they were
I'm
dating.
I'm going to look it up really fast. What was Tiffany, wow. Benji's girlfriend?
I bet she was a purebred. There was a little Lady and the Tramp thing going on.
They ate a piece of. Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves.
All right. Do you guys want me to do my wow while you're looking?
Sure.
Yeah.
Or did you want to do yours, Daryl? Because I don't care.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Hey, guys.
Hey, Jill.
My area of expertise is true crime. And true crime rule number 18 for this season. Arson, comma, not even once, exclamation point. Don't do it. This is why. There's so many reasons why. It's a bad idea. It's like one of the first forensic things that people were able to figure out where they're like, ooh, well, it was this kind of, what is that called when it's a starter? You know, fire starter.
Igniting.
Yep, Drew Barrymore. And then they were like, oh, it started in this room. And they used an accelerant. That was the word I was looking for.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And all this other stuff. And it's usually a crime of passion. And then people are trying to cover stuff up. And I was like, arsonists can't get away with it anymore, right? Because of all of those knowledgeable firemen and detectives. Yep. But they do. They get away with it a lot. Okay, so. During the scene examination, investigators may find evidence such as accelerants, tampered utilities, and specific burn patterns, which may indicate criminal activity. Okay, well, how do you catch the bad guy? It's estimated that only 10% of all arson cases are cleared by arrest, and that only 1% of all arsonists are convicted of the crime. This is not an invitation to set shit on fire, firebugs. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few others are institutionalized for psychiatric treatment as an alternative to conviction. So they're saying that firebugs are crazy, and I agree with that assessment. And just don't do it. Be nice to each other. Be kind. Go buy an Easter basket. The end. Arson.
Wow.
Not even once.
Not even once. Well, I like that. Wow.
Thank you.
That one's a good one. That one's a good one.
Thank you.
You guys, I'm not getting a whole bunch on Tiffany. She does have her own Wikipedia page, but it's not very long. She was Benji's girlfriend. Kira was the name given to her by Mary Shee, and she portrayed herself.
Oh, yes. Tiffany is played by Tiffany.
Yeah,
Tiffany,
I like
is,
that.
Is Benji's girlfriend. Kara was given her name by... that doesn't even make any sense. Tiffany is Benji's girlfriend. Kara was given her name by Mary. She was portrayed by herself. That doesn't make any sense.
It sounds like do better. Tiffany's the dog's character name.
Kira is her real name.
Yes.
But it doesn't say what kind of dog she was, and I really want to know now, because she is damn cute as well.
Huh.
That's going to be on my next...
Hi, Bubba's.
My next Witcha. I
think he gets the zoomies right at the end of our second show, and he just wants to go outside.
Just a little excited.
Yep. Sorry for the doggy interruption, and thank you for the Tiffany research.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, my wow is pretty... It's three of Hart's big tunes, and the stories behind them.
Oh.
The band part.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember. I mean, I always thought Barracuda was about a song or something. I mean, about a song.
about a
car. Or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, no, Barracuda is without a doubt Hart's most well-known song to date. The track was also based on a real-life event. Specifically, it was an interaction with a rather rude individual, which guitarist Nancy Wilson said one sleazy guy at a recording company promoter. I can't even remember where from exactly. This sleazeball is questioned had inappropriate insulted that Nancy and her sister vocalist and Hart band member Ann Wilson were secretly lovers.
No way, Jose.
How stupid is that? The result was an angrily fueled recording session the next day, which resulted in the famous song Barracuda.
I still don't get it.
Because they were like, he's such a barracuda because he made all these rumors about them.
Yeah.
And stuff. And so it was like...
I've just never equated dangerous fish with spreading rumors. Or but fast cars.
Because they're like just mean.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That, thank you for spelling it out. Okay.
That was their 1977 hit.
Okay.
Yeah. Magic Man in 1975. Magic Man was another track from Hart that was based in part of a real life event. The song is about a young woman who is seduced by an older man, and her mother is quite angry about the whole thing. During the interview, Ann noted that tutorial, is that how you say that?
Tutorial.
Magic Man was her boyfriend.
Yes, yeah. Tutorial.
Magic Man was her boyfriend at the time, manager Michael Fisher. She said the part of the song was quite autobiographical and how it portrayed the beginning of their relationship.
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Makes sense. This one here, I was like, okay, those are pretty deep. Here we go. Dog and Butterfly, 1978.
Makes no sense.
Dog and Butterfly was a bit of a deep cut for Hart fans. It also was one of their most folksy songs when compared to most of their hard rock sound of their previous work. And had said in a year-old interview that the song was inspired by one particular experience. Now, this is where it gets a little hokey. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anne was looking out a window and saw a dog playfully chasing a butterfly. She saw inspiration in the simple sight and decided to write Dog and Butterfly about a value pursuing your dreams and even when it's hard.
I think she was watching a Hallmark movie.
I think she was on shrooms.
That's sweet. Maybe.
Or maybe not just got done with shrooms. Firefly Lane and been like, I need to write something real
good. Dog and Firefly.
So what you're saying is, although she had to try.
Wow.
She broke back down.
And the laughter. And the sound.
Now, what song did you say you auditioned with earlier that you couldn't get the eye?
It was memory. I got it. It just probably wasn't the best song.
That was good, honey. Thank you for throwing it in.
Just throw me a All Alone in the Moonlight.
All Alone in the Moonlight?
Memory. Oh. Yeah.
No, it's almost opera-y, so.
Yeah. You have to build up to it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Midnight, not a sound from the pavement. I can smile at the old days. I was beautiful then. I remember the time I knew what happiness was. Let the memory live again. That was the low part.
Wow.
That was wonderful.
What you talked about took a total turn right there, but that was pretty damn cool. I get extra credit this week.
But if I would have went to tap 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 tap,
you should have told us to dance there.
Dippity dippity do.
Right?
Nice. Well, that's what I was talking about. And thank you, Miss Lisa Brown, for throwing some extra credit my way. Thank you.
Holy crap!
That
great
was badass.
Wows.
Yeah, that was wicked.
Fun.
Yeah.
I will do more research on Tiffany the dog.
We need to know.
By next time. And until then, people, thank you again for listening to another show. I think that this was fun. If you'd like to see, again, a lot of fun stuff on the Patreon between takes, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and join our Facebook page.
Do all those things. But before you do that, stay witchy, my friends.
Stay bitchy. That was really awful.
My dog is deaf.
I'm glad I had my kids when I could.
You guys got to leave that in.
Okay.
That was great.
That was too funny. Oh no, must be the season of